Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be. So, Lord, would you bless us? No illustrations today, thankfully. I trust that you are well, yes? And if you are a visitor, a very warm welcome. Just a point of reference, I believe I noticed that Galena's mum is with us again. So, Galena, would you and your mum just stand up, please? The reason I asked Galena mum and to stand up is because Galena will be interpreting for her guests. So if you hear anyone whispering during the service, that's what's happening. Thank you. Welcome. Okay, our children have gone out. I sometimes during church have to gather my thoughts because emotions sometimes can take over, and it's not because I'm sad, it's because I'm experiencing what God is doing through you. He sometimes gives me a glimpse of what is about to happen, and I want to take this opportunity once again to say thank you. And something that was mentioned last week was integrity. As I was in worship, I leant over to Susan and I said, Easter this year will be our 9th year as a church, so that means this year we will be entering into our 10th year as a congregation. Now that's enough to make anyone cry, isn't it? How blessed we are. Last week we had John who was in a situation where he collapsed, and we was privileged to have many nursing, those in the nursing profession around him. But it got me to thinking, how can I bring this into context? And I just want to share something with you so that you can pray for me, okay? This isn't my message, but I just want to share with you Acts 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking till midnight. So you need to pray for me. I'm here tomorrow, so you will be pleased. There were many lamps in the upstairs room so he could see what he was doing, where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man. What was his name, Pat? Whatever his name was, I can't spell it. Who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. You need to pray for me. As he talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive. Then he went upstairs and carried on preaching. So that was my biblical reference to carrying on preaching when the unexpected comes. Expect the unexpected and you won't be caught out by the suddenly. What that means is this, be prepared. So what greater place to be when you're unwell than in church? And I know that that may sound glib, and there will be situations, friends, I'm sure, where we need to evacuate the building. However, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. And whatever you're going through, you're part of a body. You're part of a wider body called the church, and you're part of the local body called the church. And while you're part of this body here, the Bible teaches us to remind you of this. When one part hurts, we all hurt. When one part suffers, we all suffer. When one part rejoices, we all rejoice. So, expect the unexpected and you won't be caught out by the suddenly. I've been using this scripture in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6 quite a bit over these last weeks. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And I haven't been bringing it in the context of finances. I've been bringing it in the context of everything that we do. If you are a generous smiler, then smiles is what you will reap. So it's about everything that we do. And today I want to ask us this question. Are we willing to trust? Are we willing to trust? And it's like taking your three-year-old and putting him on the table and saying, jump. Daddy will catch you. They do, don't they? They do until they get to the age of 11. And then they go, I've seen your skills. Trust is a small word, but it has a big implication. Trust. The Bible talks about trust quite a bit. Trust. Trust. Being trustworthy. Being worthy of trust. And I just want to open this up for a few moments today as we just enter into our time together. So I trust that God will speak to you and speak through you. I had the privilege to be part of a wider group of prayer with other church and other pastors a few Saturdays ago with a couple of members of our church. And they asked me to do this. They said, look, can you bring 3 points for us to stand with you in prayer? And I'm thinking, you know, God has blessed us. 3 points. What can I pray for? What can I say to this church? If you can pray for me or us for anything, what would it be? And these are the 3 things that came to my mind. And I want to ask you if you would continue this year to pray for us as well. Now, there's a vision over this church. It's Isaiah 61. To bind up the broken hearts. Think about it. To bind up the broken hearts and to set the captives free. Why? Because the Lord has anointed us to preach good news. So how do we do that? So my prayer was this. I said to them, would you pray for 3 things? Would you pray that we would grow spiritually? More of Him, less of us, yes? So church, would you pray for us as well? Would you pray that we would grow numerically? Because the more people that are added to this church, the greater resource we can be. And would you pray that we would grow financially? Because the more we grow spiritually, numerically and financially, the more we can give away. The more that God blesses us with, the more we can give. The more we can do. So it's not about being a rich church. It's about being rich in the deeds and the action that He's called us to be part of, this wider family. So 3 things I'd like us to pray for this year. I had a telephone conversation with my pastor, Pastor Robert Marsbach, and I said, you know, Pastor, as I'm going into this next year, what should I ask the church to do? He said, love you. I said, well, that's a tall order, but I'm sure they will. He said 3 things. He said, ask them to keep praying. Ask them to keep reading God's word, and ask them to keep coming to church, because you make the difference. You see, the Bible says this. It teaches us that we have a deposit of His Spirit within us, yes? So when we become a Christian, when we say, Lord, forgive me for living life my way, I'm coming back to you, I want to live my life your way. The Bible says that we're born into His family. And we're born into His family through the Spirit of God. And He gives us a measure. So if we each have a small measure of the Spirit of God within us, that will increase as we ask for more, but each of you will have that deposit of the Holy Spirit guaranteeing what is to come. So if you are a representation of Christ's grace, how much more when we come together and become a collective representation of His grace? So there are 6 things I want to minister on over the next month once I've finished this part of what the Lord is asking me to do. Remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And my question is this, are we willing to trust? Are we willing to trust? In Luke 16, verse 10, it says this, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? I don't want to minister on this scripture, but what I want to say is this. Trust, small word, big implication. Whoever can be trusted with very little. You have a small measure of faith. You have a large measure of faith. You have a medium measure of faith. When we look at the parables, and it tells us that one was given one talent, one was given 3, one was given 5. When we look at the whole overview of that story, it comes down to this. The Lord says, what you have been entrusted with may be a very small amount, only one. Don't bury it. Use it. So I want us to ask ourselves the question, Can we trust God? Can we trust God? So whatever it is God has entrusted to you, be encouraged. Just allow him to give you the opportunities to work with it. In John 8, verse 26, I have much to say in judgment of you. This seems fairly harsh, doesn't it? Jesus is telling everybody around him what's about to happen. What's about to happen? And yet he goes on in verse 26 and says, I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy. And what I have heard from him, I tell the world. So when we come to church, when we read our Bibles, when we listen to a senior minister speaking in a natural or even in a prophetic way, there has to be an element of trust. Is he or she communicating the truth? Well, Jesus had to say to his disciples and all those around him, the one who sent me is trustworthy. So we need to be able to say, whenever we speak on behalf, whether it's in an assembly, in a high school like it was with me this week, or whether it's in church or Sunday school or home groups or prayer meetings or on the street, in the corners, in Tesco's, in Morrison's, other supermarkets are available. Wherever it may be, the one who sent me is trustworthy. So it's about who we represent. Who do you represent? You don't represent necessarily me, you represent the Lord, don't you? Whenever you speak, you're speaking on his behalf. The Bible encourages us to live life in a way which will give him the honour, the glory. Is that true? So ultimately, we represent his plans and purposes. But God has given you a family, good, bad and indifferent. It's Grace Community Church in this instance. And we represent the Lord. So whatever we do, Jesus could say this, the one who sent me is trustworthy. And I want to communicate to you as a Christian today or somebody who's searching. The one who sent us is trustworthy. His name is the Lord, the King of Kings, Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh. He's your provider. He's your King. He's your Lord. He is trustworthy. So whether you're going through the storms of life or you're on the calm sea, he's still your anchor. Just think about that for a moment. The Bible says that he is an anchor for your soul. Is that true? Is that what the Bible says? An anchor is something that keeps you grounded, keeps you from being tossed around by every wind of teaching and adversity. Whether you're going through the storm, he's your anchor. So wherever you are in life, if there's things that are turbulent at the moment, he's your anchor. Whether you're on the calm sea, he's your anchor. And when we looked at that picture, Susan and I spoke about it the other day because of circumstances. This is what we remembered. In the Gospels, it tells it like this. It says, Jesus was in the midst of the storm, and the disciples say, Lord, you know, how can you sleep at such a time like this? When the wind and the waves are raging all around, surely we will die. And Jesus stood up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and all became calm. All became calm. And it says this, on the lake were other boats. So in the storms of life, when God blesses you, because he is trustworthy, he also blesses those around you. When he blesses you because he is trustworthy, you receive that blessing, but so does your family. So do your work colleagues. So do your neighbors. Because this gospel is trustworthy. And the message I want to bring today is simply that. Will you trust the one who has sent us? Because Jesus said, go. He's talking to you and me. Go make disciples of all people. Go make disciples of all people. God called me to equip you to go make disciples of all people. But if you can't trust God, and when you speak of his goodness, people won't trust God. So the challenge for us as a church as we enter into our end of our ninth year and soon to be our tenth year, will you trust him? Will you trust him? For he is trustworthy. In Romans 15:1, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbor for their good, and build them up. This scripture is encouraging. It's saying, listen, if you're strong, then bear with those that are weak. So often in our life, during our journeys, we can be disappointed with those around us, thinking they ought to be somewhere in front of us instead of beside us or behind us. But the Lord instructs us because he wants us to bear. And when we think about the word bear, it's not to drink alcoholic beverages, it's to carry a weight. Because if you think about a lintel in a house, it's a bearer, isn't it? A wooden bearer. I remember something poetic that came to me when I read this scripture for the first time, and it was a picture, a flashback of the early miners, where they would be underground, and there would be timber on the right-hand side, timber on the left-hand side, and then bearers going across the top to support the weight of the earth and the rock above them. Yes, you get the picture? And every now and again, there would be an earth tremor. And that bearer would start to collapse. And we hear stories of men who would put themselves in the breach, and they would bend over, and they would push up. They would become the bearer so that the rest of his colleagues would not suffocate. They took the brunt of the weight of the burden. Does that make sense? So God is saying to you and me, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbor for their good, to build them up. The picture of the man I just brought was somebody who was willing to lay down his plan, his purpose, to save the life of others. For even Christ did not please himself. As it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen upon me, Jesus said. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind, one voice, you may glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made by the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will praise you amongst the Gentiles. I will sing praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord for all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up. Jesus Christ will spring up, one who will arise and rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. I say all that for this, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we don't lay hold of God's word and put it into context, when we read a simple scripture like, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we don't read some of the things that we go through, if we don't read some of the things that God's people have gone through, when we read this scripture, we just think that we can hang on to that that one small part of God's word. But when we listen to the rest of it, Lord, though I walk through the valley, you will pull me through. Lord, I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to allow your rod and your staff to comfort me, your correction and your protection to lead me through those pastures anew. Why? I'm glad you asked, because I pray, Lord, may you fill me with all joy. I don't know about you, sometimes I don't feel like being happy. Do you feel like being happy? There's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is dependent on my outward circumstances. Whether I have enough food, whether I have enough money, whether I have enough friends, whether I'm healthy. Happiness depends on a lot of those things. But joy depends on who he is in relation to my faith. Joy depends on who he is and what he has accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit. So for you and me, if we're going to trust God, if we're going to trust His Word, if we're going to trust His servants, then we need to know that we can be filled by the power of His Holy Spirit. Because God wants you to be an overcomer this year. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to trust His Word, that you may be more than a conqueror. In 1 Corinthians 4, this then is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ. Now this is Paul talking about his apostleship. Now Paul was a powerful individual, and so often when we look through Scripture, we can look at the life of Paul the apostle and think, wow, what a mighty man of God. If only I could be like him. Don't pray that prayer. Read Acts first, then pray that prayer. And then I will continue to pray for you for the rest of my life. This then is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the ministries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. So when we as a church, we come before God's grace and we say, Lord, will you trust me with the little? Lord, will you trust me with the little? And He will, but we must prove faithful. The Bible says it like this. It says, a tree is known, it's recognized by its fruit. Yes? The Bible says about you and me as a church, as a congregation. It says, people will know that you belong to me. How? Because you love one another. Now, it's easy for me to love Susan. It's harder for me to love you and for you to love me. But that's how we'll be recognized as one who belongs to the Lord. See, if He can trust you with me, and He can trust me with you, then He can trust us with the lost, with the lonely, with the disenfranchised. He can trust us with those that no one else will trust. This year, as we go forward, let's be those that God can trust with a little. Can we pray that God will reveal one person to each one of us to pray for? One person to love? One person to see come through into salvation? One lost sinner saved? And if we do that, we would already have multiplied the numbers we have here today. I know it sounds simplistic, and I know if you've been in church life for any number of years, you would have heard that said before. But the truth is this, you don't need a formula. You just need to trust God. Will you trust Him today? Will you trust Him with your heart? Will you trust Him with your resources? Will you trust Him that if you use the little that He's given you, He will be the increase? In 1 Timothy 1 verse 12 it says this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me trustworthy, anointing me to His service. Paul can say, I thank Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength. Has God given you strength? He has given you strength. How do I know that? Because He says He gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to the weary. So whether you are weary or you're not, He strengthens you. He encourages you. My question to you is, will you trust Him? Will you trust Him to strengthen you? That He has considered me trustworthy, appointing me to His service. You've been called. The Bible puts it like this. You are ambassadors, each and every one of you. When I was in assembly, it's a scary place to be, actually. It's harder to minister to children than it is to the senior children of the Lord. I find this a privilege and something that is difficult, but not as difficult as ministering to a school full of kids. Yet, God's appointed me for this service. So I can't argue with Him, I just need to trust Him. So my question is, will you trust Him? Because He has given you strength for this appointing, for this service. It's not just about the Apostle Paul's of this life, because if you take time to analyse his life, you'll realise that he used to be called Saul. Saul of Tarshish, a man who was zealous to persecute the way. He would be the man that would persecute you as the Christian. He would have you thrown in prison or burnt at the stake as a candle. He would be the one that would take his coat off while your brother Stephen was being stoned. And yet God got hold of him, revealed him through his presence and his power, and brought him into the kingdom and trusted him to be trustworthy. So my question for us as a church, can God trust us? Do you believe that he strengthened you? I believe he strengthened me for such a time as this. God wants us to be all that he's called us to be. In 1 Peter 2:4, as you come to him, who? The living stone, rejected by humans and chosen by God, precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. I can remember, just aside, one of the first messages I was given to preach was in church that Alan and Beverly Molyneux pastored, and they asked me to bring a midweek message. And I'd prepared something all about stones. The foundation stone, the capstone, the cornerstone. And if you don't know me, if you're new to this church, you'll know that I am dyslexic and I can't see very well, and words get jumbled up, and I have to rely on my memory rather than reading. And I prepared something, and I brought my Bible, and I was quite confident. And I opened my Bible, and this was the passage I wanted to read. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious stone. He, the one who trusts in him, will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe this stone is precious, and then it didn't make sense. To you who believe this stone is precious, but those who do not believe. And I didn't see the comma. To you who believe, this stone is precious. You see, when we leave out the commas in our life, sometimes it don't make sense. For he who believes, if you believe, this stone, the stone that was rejected, is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Now, there's a story that goes about, whether it's true or not, I'll ask Mike to research it, is that when they built the temple, there were stones that were being honed out in the quarry, so there was no sound of hammer or chisel on the sacred ground. So the stone was brought up and laid, and then each stone fitted perfectly. But what happened was, allegedly in some cases, that the cornerstone, the stone that is the stone to hold everything together, was brought up first. And it kept getting in the way. People were stumbling over it, and it was disregarded and maybe rolled down the hill. And then they put the building together, and then they had to suddenly bring up the cornerstone and put it into place, and it fitted perfectly. Now, that sounds quite poetic, but I can get my head around that. The stone that the builders rejected became the finish, the end of everything. But for you and for me, that stone should be precious. That's Jesus Christ. The stone that causes people to stumble and the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people. That's you and that's me. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. People of God, once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Can we as a church say that we can trust God? That he's not our stumbling stone. That he's our cornerstone. That he is what holds us together. He is what holds the building together. Can we go forward this year in our private lives and in our corporate lives, trusting him and his word? Because the truth is, people will let you down. I will let you down. Circumstances, situations, authorities will let you down. But if you trust God, you will have that full understanding that the Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The anchor in the storm is the same anchor in the calm. Trust him. And if you'll put your trust in him, I guarantee you that you will become stronger this year. you'll become more prayerful, more willing to give of your time and your resources, more willing to share the good news. One of the things I struggled with in a church I used to belong to, and I won't mention it, but I say this with integrity, is I used to really thoroughly enjoy what God was doing. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to His Word and being in His presence, but I didn't feel that I could bring any of my friends to church. I hope you don't feel like that. I hope that you can say with us, there's an integrity in this place. And it's not because of the senior leadership, it's because of you. You are those living stones that we just read about, being built together to become a holy people, to become a dwelling place where the broken hearts can come in and be mended, where blind eyes can be opened, where deformed bodies can be stretched out whole. There's an integrity in this room. I believe, and I want to share this with you, that this year, that God will entrust us with something that we've not witnessed in great measure before. That He will entrust us with His power, entrust us with His presence. Why? Because you are those living stones. And for many, many, many of you, you've gone through the river of life where the waters have washed over you to take off those rough edges, to enable God to fit you into the place He wants you to be. But my question is this, will you trust Him? Will you trust Him? He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new, in Revelation 21, verse 5. I'm making everything new. Then He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. In Scripture, you'll hear it said, truly, truly, or verily, verily. It means this. Listen, for this is something that's truth and you need to know it. So it said in Revelation 21, 5, He who was seated on the throne said, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, I am making everything new. Then He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the waters of life. Are you thirsty? Then accept what He's going to give you. You don't need to pay for it. It's a free gift. Those who are virtuous will inherit all this. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. See, we are the children of God. We are a royal priesthood, we read earlier, a holy nation. And there's times like this, whatever you're going through, good, bad, or indifferent, He is the same God. Yet He says to you that you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You've been forgiven and given His grace and His mercy. How did that happen? Through faith in Him. Will you, this year, continue to trust Him? I'm going to invite our worship team to come back as I just bring this to a finish. This is a long passage of Scripture, but I want you to hear something. I want you to understand what David is saying and what he's going through, because so often in corporate church life, we can be led to believe when we become Christians, everything's okay. Have you experienced that in your walk? Or has your life been a little bit like a roller coaster? No? Only me then. That's why you need to pray for me. Because life is like that, isn't it? But the Bible says this, the high mountains He'll bring down low, and the valleys He'll bring up. So what's that mean? That He will bring a straightness. He will bring a level field. He will bring a calmness. Yet when we look in the Psalms, when we listen to some of the things that David put to music and put down on paper, in Psalm 31, verse 1, it says this, in You, Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in Your righteousness. Turn Your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since You are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of Your name, lead and guide me. This is his prayer. This is his heart. Keep me free from the trap that is set before me, for You are my refuge. He's saying, Lord, I trust You. Lord, I trust You. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction. God sees everything that we go through. I knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. God wants to give you room to grow. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak in sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak because of all of my enemies. I am in utter contempt of my neighbors. I am an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery. For I hear many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me. They plot to take my life. But, isn't it always good to have a but? Unless you're talking to your children, that's okay, but. And they're going, here it comes. But, he says, I trust in you, Lord. But I trust in you, Lord. Although these things might happen, but Lord, I trust in you. I say, you are my God. Can you say, like it says in Scripture, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord? Pray. Read his word. Come to church. Pray that we will grow spiritually, numerically, and financially. Why? So that we can bind up the broken hearts and set the captives free. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you. For I have cried out to you. Finally, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's my prayer for you. Will you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding? But in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. He will take the high things and bring them down, the low things and bring them up. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will bring over with new wine. What a great God we have. What a great God. Let's stand. Let's worship him. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.